then you make us doers. And we thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We exalt thee. I had to bring these fellas out because they just doing a thing. Oh, y'all give it up for the band. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. They've been, amen, a blessing, and thank God for all of you tonight. As we have already shared, as God has been so good to us. Amen. I can just look at your faces and tell God has been good to you. Amen. Now listen, I don't want to just take it for granted. You got to testify for yourself. So if he's really been good to you, tell your neighbor, God's been good to me. Amen. In fact, the other one didn't hear you. Tell somebody, oh, God's been good to me. Somebody needs to hear it. Somebody needs to hear it. Amen. Not only do I want to tell you, hey, this is what I want to do. My amen check. This is a good time for an amen check. We've been here Wednesday night. Y'all helped me real strong. On Thursday night, you helped me. But I need some more amens tonight. Amen. That's something about our culture. Amen of worship. The preacher preaches better when people say amen.
Amen.
I may be mistaken, but it seemed to me like the preacher preached shorter. When people say amen, shame on y'all. But here's what I do. I like to do an amen check. I want to do an amen check right through here before we take off into the message. Amen. So we'll stay. Here it is. Whenever something is said by the preacher, the man of God, the pastor, whoever, if you are in agreement with that, the statement, if the statement rings true and you know that it is a fact from the word of God, you should respond by saying,
amen.
Amen. And then according to the fervency of the statement, sometimes, amen, you got to say amen, even, and you say amen with great enthusiasm because you know God has did just what he said he would do. So here's one of these statements. I'm going to make a statement, and then you respond with amen according to how you feel and agree with it. God is good.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Every now and then. He's good what?
All the time.
And all the time. Let the church say.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Now here's the other thing. Sometimes you got to say amen with the same enthusiasm, even, you know, when it's the truth, even when you don't like it. Okay, thank you. I got one amen right here. Here it is. Sin will catch up to you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so God knows. God knows. And y'all did real well. I want you to keep those amen. One more amen, y'all. Now I feel better. Amen. Amen. So with that very same spirit of cooperation, the spirit of participation, I sure hope y'all didn't come just to spectate. Amen. But I want you to get into the spirit of worship. Amen. For God is a spirit. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him and y'all must go to New Beginnings in Israel. Amen. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. So every time we come to the house of God, amen, we ought to come to God and say, Lord, fix me. Amen. So that I can worship you. Lord, forgive me. So I can come correct to you. Every time we come to the house of God, we ought to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Because your grace has brought me through. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, when we come to God in the spirit of praise, in the spirit of worship, amen, it will better our lives and it will better the experience of the worship in our church. Amen. Jesus. There he is before we go. If you got your Bible, turn to Revelation. Revelation. chapter 21 and verse 1. Revelations 21, beginning at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's it. The green grass withereth and the flower fades away, but the word of God shall stand forever. I just want to preach to you for a moment, y'all, from the subject, here comes the bride. Here comes the bride. Well, I thank God we started this week when we talked about, amen, not getting our Johns twisted.
Right.
Amen. We talked about on Tuesday night, amen, about one who cried in the wilderness. That was John the Baptist. But then on yesterday, we talked about from the book of 1 John chapter 3. Amen. We talked about John the beloved, the apostle John. Not only the John who wrote the gospel, St. John, he also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the epistles. And he also is the author accredited with writing. In fact, all he did was wrote down what the Spirit told him to write. And he's also the author of the book of Revelation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I told you John was my favorite disciple because John was the one who was there when all the other disciples fell off. John had a heart of humility. John was the one that Jesus trusted enough to be able to entrust his mother. Happy Mother's Day. In his care, he said, John, behold thy mother, and mother, woman, behold your son. That's the same John. But I think I told you, even whether it was John the Baptist, John the Apostle, Peter, Paul, James, or amen, every true disciple of God has to go through something. Okay, y'all weren't ready for that one. I know when you got saved, you said, I'm saved and I'm going to live the good life. I'm going to do good. Ain't nothing going to bother me all the days of my life. All my money going to be fine. I ain't going to ever have no family trouble. But I don't know who lied to you. Because if you're serious about doing this work for God, you're going to experience some suffering and some trouble along the journey. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but does anybody thank God that God can keep you through your struggles? Amen. Struggling is a part of making it, and some of us want to make it without going through the struggle. But every last apostle, every last disciple had to go through something. Peter was hung upside down. James got his head chopped off. John the Baptist was beheaded. There were others that were tarred and feathered, and some, amen, were crucified. Amen. But here, the bottom line is, all of them went through something, including John. Listen, but John, amen, John didn't get martyred like the others. They said, we don't want to make a martyr out of John by killing him, because the more we kill him, amen, the more people start listening to him. Oh, yeah, you talk about me just as much as you please. The more you talk. Anybody heard Grandma say, the more you talk, the more I'm going to stay on my knees. So I just want to tell somebody, don't get stuck and don't start dropping off. Don't fall away because somebody's talking about you. You ought to just thank God that somebody knows enough about you to have something to say. Come on, tell your neighbor, thank God they're talking about somebody. John. He said, we can't kill John. Amen. Because John, he holds too much. So what they did, they banished him to an island called Patmos. On this island called Patmos, he experienced the same loneliness and isolation that John the Baptist experienced in the wilderness. But is there anybody to know that even when there's nobody around but you, you still got somebody to talk to? Anybody ever had a little talk with Jesus? Tell him all about it. Oh yeah, your troubles, he will hear. Your faintest cry, and he will. Oh, y'all church folk for real. And he will answer. Amen. So it's important that we take time. And so even when you feel like you're all by yourself on an island, nobody around, just make sure you have a relationship with God. Because the Spirit of the Lord came to John on the Lord's day, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And God spoke to him and said, John, pick up some pen and paper. I need you to take notes. Now let me go on and share with you the importance of this lesson. Here comes the bride. Amen. In these days, we call the last days. Amen. I thank God for the Bible. That was one of the amen points right there. I thank God for the Bible. Amen. It's the only book, y'all.
Yes, sir.
The only book that can tell us where we came from.
Well.
And in the same book,
yes,
tell us where we're going.
Yes.
Oh, I love the Bible. Amen, amen. Everything in between. It tells us how we got here, and it tells us how we're going to leave here. I thank God for his word. Now in his word, because it suggests and it tells us how to live, it tells us how we can love one another, it tells us the plan of God, not only for salvation, but the plan of God for this world.
Yeah.
It's because of the Bible, amen, because of this book, that we're able to determine, amen, what other folk are still confused about.
Yeah.
Amen. Everybody is wondering what happens after life, what happens at the end of the world, what's going, amen, we keep talking about these last days, but what is that all about? We have no idea unless we get it from the Word of God. The Word of God mentions several things as it comes to these end days. Amen. I'm just going to just look at this and I'm going to get right back to the sermon and pray. But in the end days, amen, it's called, the study of last days is called eschatology. In eschatology, we start to the period that we're living in right now. The period that we live in right now is called apostasy. Apostasy by interpretation meaning a great falling away. Have you noticed that in churches everywhere, not just Christian fellowships and Baptists and Church of God and Christ and Methodists, there seems to be a great falling away. We're living now in a generation where there are more who are coming to say that they don't even believe that God exists. Some of them grew up in Christian homes. Some of them got, amen, fathers that are pastors and mothers that are Sunday school teachers. And they are now got to the point where they're so wise, they know more than mama and daddy. And they have declared, amen, not just the youth, there are some adults who lived a long time who ought to be smart enough to know you didn't get to be that old being stupid. But by the grace of God, we're living in a day where there is a great falling away from the church. And I don't know, but maybe somebody in here maybe fell away and then fell back in. But I'm just here to tell you, amen, there are some who went through life and says, when mama drugged me to church, when I get grown, oh yeah, I ain't going back, amen. But let me tell you, in that period of falling away, where we in right now, the period of apostasy, the Jesus explained to us these are the times right before he comes back. He said in the period of apostasy in Matthew chapter 24, he says there will be wars. I wonder if anybody heard of them yet. There'll be earthquakes in diverse places. Amen. Mothers will rise against daughters and sons against fathers. Amen. They said, and the love of many. Church folk ain't gonna love each other like they used to love each other. The Bible says all this is gonna happen in the last days. Oh yeah, and it goes on. It said, as it was in the days of Noah. Are y'all with me? Or maybe y'all ain't caught it. In the days of Noah, they were turning up special. Okay. I told y'all I was from Compton. I told y'all that already. Amen. Turn up special. That means they were doing everything. Amen. They had no business doing. Amen. In the days of Noah. Amen. Y'all know, y'all read the text. God got so frustrated in the days of Noah. God says he repented that he even made man. Now, if God was that angry back in there in the days of Noah, and some of the same stuff that was happening in the days of Noah is happening today, even on a turned up level, somebody ought to say, Lord, have mercy. We're living in the last days, and particularly the days of apostasy. What we're expecting next. Y'all stay with me, I promise. Am I helping somebody? Now, after the days, the next thing we're looking for in the church, according to the prophecy of the word of God and the fulfillment of what the word says, is I'm expecting the rapture. Tell somebody, Jesus coming back. Oh yeah, that's what we preach. Amen. We know we preach that he was born of a virgin. That's the gospel story. That he walked the streets of Jerusalem. He healed the sick and raised the dead. That's the gospel story. That they crucified him, put him on the cross. He died, they buried him, he rose again, went for his disciples, and then went and ascended out of their sight. But the Bible also says, as the angel stood there with them, why stand you here gazing? The same Jesus that went away, he is. And I need somebody here to holler back at me, he's coming back. Yeah, that's the next thing we're looking for, because Jesus promised it. And anybody know that Jesus ain't never broke a promise? And I don't know when. No man knows the day or the hour. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus is coming back. And according to the word, it looks like he's coming soon. Rapture, listen. And for thank God for the body of Christ. Everybody in here, if you aren't saved, you need to get saved tonight. Amen. I said, you need to get saved tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Because tomorrow is not promised. Amen. And what Jesus is coming back for. Amen. He's coming back for his bride. Are y'all going to pray with me? Amen. And everybody, amen, who's not a part of the bride, which is the church. Amen. Will be left behind.
Amen.
And so the rapture takes place and he's coming back for the church. Amen. Without spot and or wrinkle. Amen. The Bible declares that the dead in Christ. Oh, I'm preaching a whole lot right here. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And so shall we forever be with the Lord. That's called the rapture. The rapture means the catching away. The apostasy is a falling away. Amen. But thanks be unto God, I'm looking for the rapture. Amen. Amen. I've shared this with my wife, Lady Barbara. Amen. Y'all give Lady Barbara a hand. Thank you so very much. Every night she's been going to work and commuted, and God bless you for working. But we got this saying all the time. We got this saying, we ain't trying to die if we can help it. We asking God, let us live, please, Jesus. Amen. She prayed for me, I pray for her. Lord, let her live. Lord, let him live. Amen. We trying to live. Amen. And when the rapture comes, I'm praying that God would allow me to be a part of the rapture crew. You know, the dead in Christ die first, and then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up. I don't know if it's because I'm nosy and I want to see what's going on. I don't know. Maybe I just don't want to leave here until everything's done that I'm supposed to. I don't know what it is. And please don't hold me. Don't judge me. I'm just, if I had my choice, I'd rather go in the rapture. Are y'all praying with me? But can I tell you what you don't want to do? You don't want to take a chance, amen, of trying to get raptured at the last minute. Yeah, y'all. Amen. If you planning to go in the rapture, you better make sure you save today. Because when Jesus come back, you won't have time to say to the pastor, but I give you my hand, right hand of fellowship. And amen, I believe in my heart. Amen, you won't have time for none of that. Because when he comes back, he's coming back in a moment. In a... Oh, since I'm messing with Lady Barbara, she let me do that from time to time. Let me tell you, there's a difference between a blinking, a winking, and a twinkling. Are y'all gonna talk to me? Amen. A blinking, a winking, and a twinkling. The Bible says in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye. Listen, all of them happen real fast. Yes, matter of fact, if you ain't careful, you'll miss all of them. Yes, everybody in here done blinks a whole lot of times. Amen. You wasn't counting, but you was just blinking. It took probably less than a second, a quarter of a second, less than that for you just to blink. But can I tell you what's faster than a blink? A wink. A wink. Blinking is automatic. It's a part of our makeup. You don't have to tell yourself to blink. Amen. But when you wink, it's because it's intentional. Y'all talking to me? It may take a little bit longer, but you meant to do that thing. That's why I called Lady Barbara out. I just want, amen. Thank God for a blinking, but I also thank God for a winking. But there's one more that happens faster than a blink, faster than a wink. That's a twinkling. That twinkling is that little, matter of fact, if you ain't careful, you'll miss it. Amen. That little shining part. So in a moment, in a twinkling, all I'm trying to tell somebody is that the rapture is coming. Jesus is coming back, and it's going to happen so fast. You won't have time to say, Lord, save me. You got to be saved right now and make sure. Amen. Mama Gracie always said, you can't got time to get ready. You got to be ready. You got to be ready when Jesus comes. And so now we understand that it is the apostasy, the age that we're living in now. And then we're waiting on the rapture. After the rapture, there is a 7-year period called the Great Tribulation. In the great tribulation, amen, will be trouble on this world. Oh yeah, let me tell y'all, just because the rapture came don't mean the world stops. Amen, it's still going to be commerce. There'll still be things going on, but it's going to be a little bit different. The first 3.5 years will be 3.5 years of destruction. And the second 3.5 years of the great tribulation will be ran by the Antichrist. And anybody who does not have the mark of the... Oh, I wish I was preaching or something. The mark of the beast, you won't be able to buy cash, you won't be able to buy food, you won't be able to buy clothes. Amen. You're going to wish that you had been caught away in the rapture. But let me tell somebody, I hope not in here, but if you happen to miss the rapture, here's what you do. Amen. Don't receive the mark of the beast. Do not tell the devil, I don't care how you think you've missed it, if you can hold on. And grandma had it, she says, get right, church. Amen. But then, amen, as another part says, amen, I'm going home on the morning. Why, mama? Because you don't want to wait for the tribulation to try to get saved. You may miss that. You want to be saved before Jesus comes back. Okay, let me hurry up. That's amen, amen. That's pretty good, y'all. Y'all got the notes all up here. But praise his holy name. And now we see the apostasy. We see the rapture, the great tribulation. The great tribulation where the Antichrist is going to set himself up in the temple as though he is God. That's the book of Revelation. Amen. And the Bible declares that then Jesus is going to set things in order. Y'all do know the second coming of Jesus does not take place in the rapture. Because in the rapture, we meet Jesus in the air. But can I tell you, Jesus is coming back to the earth. And when he comes back, the Bible declares he's coming riding on a white horse. Amen. He's going to have on a white robe and written on his vesture. He's going to have the words written in blood. Amen. King of kings. And Lord of lords. I wish I had a witness here. He's going to come riding, amen, and riding with an iron in his hand and a sickle, and he's going to clean out. But can I tell you, he ain't going to be riding by himself. He says, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. If you believe in me and follow me, you can come rule with me. So after the rapture, when Jesus coming back, amen, he has a group of people following him, and all of them got on long white robes. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I'm just trying to tell y'all, amen, if we can just do what God says do now, God promises that he's going to bless us, amen, in the future. So if the church can just be the church, hang on, be faithful, when Jesus comes back, he's going to bring the church back with him, which leads me to our text tonight.
All right.
Here comes the bride. After the rapture, after, amen, the great tribulation, there's going to be a war, and the war, amen. Matter of fact, Jesus is going to lock Satan up 1,000 years, the millennium. And he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, he's going to be released, and there's going to be a great battle in heaven. Amen. Michael and the angels of God against Satan and the third of the demons that fell from heaven, and they're going to fight in the war of Armageddon, and we know who's going to win. Michael and that great army is going to feed them with the word of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And when that's all done, Satan and all of his demons are going to be cast into the lake of fire, which will begin what we call the great white throne of judgment. And let me tell you, and I don't mean to surprise nobody, but everybody is going to live forever. Please, I want y'all. Everybody will live forever. The question is, where are you going to live? Are you going to live with Jesus forever? Amen. Forever and ever. Amen. And the only other option is to burn in eternal hellfire forever and ever. People don't believe it. When you go to hell, you don't just forget about stuff. You still have consciousness. Amen. It ain't like you just disappear off the map and no more gone. Amen. The body is gone, but the soul and the spirit will live. And it's going to be tormented day and night. Amen. I catch enough hell this in one day to be tormented every day. Somebody tell God, I'm going with Jesus. Because when Jesus comes back, he's bringing the church with him. Oh, but after that war is over, and after the great white throne of judgment, after eschatology has been proven to be true, the Bible comes to the concluding chapters in the book of Revelation. He says, and I, John was writing as the Holy Spirit showed him visions. And he says, and I, John, I saw something. I wish I had a witness. I saw a holy city coming down out of the sky. Amen. I've seen some stuff. Amen. I've seen some airplanes fly. I've seen some balloons. I've seen some, amen, what's that little blimp thing that fly over? But I ain't never seen a city fall down from the sky. But I'm here to tell y'all, God is preparing a place, amen, that the wicked cannot endure. You do know that heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall stand forever. And amen, and after all that's over, heaven and earth will pass away. But when heaven and earth pass away, there'll be no more sea, no more sun, no more moon. They won't even need no light, because Jesus is the light of the city. Anybody thank God that he is everything that we need? And so when he comes back, he's coming back for his bride. And when the bride comes, she's coming adorned for her husband. Jesus is the groom. New Beginnings, the church, is the bride. So I got a little statement to make and a couple of questions. Here comes the bride. the bride.
Amen.
Now my question, amen, I need some help here in preparation and I'll be all done. We doing good. We still going to make 9 o'clock, Pastor. That's an amen. Here comes the bride. Traditionally, when there is a wedding, traditionally, the bride normally, in preparation for her special day, she searches for 4 things. Something old, something new. Okay, thank you. Something borrowed and something blue. Now you do know we are the church. We are the bride. And there is a wedding coming. Oh, come on, y'all. And we got to get ready for that great wedding in New Jerusalem. And so the bride got to be adorned. The bride got to be fixed up. So I want to tell you, amen, there are some things that every bride just needs. Number one, the bride needs loyalty to the groom.
Amen.
I ain't met a groom yet that's cool with his bride going everywhere. I thought I have at least 2 more amens. So I might do another amen check or something. Huh? And if any human groom feels that way about his human bride, how do you think our Heavenly Father, our the Jesus Christ, our Savior, the groom of the church, how does he feel when his bride half treats him? You my bride, but you don't even read my love letters. You my bride, but you won't even go out with me. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. You my bride and you won't even come to my house. But let me hurry up. But every bride ought to want to have something old. Something new. Something borrowed and something blue. Well, let me take off here. First of all, something old. Amen. And I am one who is certainly wholeheartedly, amen, into the belief, amen, that I do not want to be a member, nor do I want to pastor a church or be a part of a congregation where there are no old members.
Amen.
I'm going to let you in on the secret. If it wasn't for the matured, faithful seniors in our church, a whole lot of our churches would have unfolded a long time ago. Somebody say something old. Amen. Amen. Not only that, amen, we got a whole, hey, people who are always looking for something new, something spectacular. I think I told you the day, we always want to find something that nobody else said or something nobody else did. But let me tell you, amen, the old still works. Give me that old time. It was good enough for mother and father. It's good enough for Paul and Silas. It ought to be good enough for you and me. Amen. That Bible is the oldest thing there is. Amen. Because when I searched it, I tried to examine. You think about it. What's the oldest thing on earth, or the oldest things on earth? The oldest things on earth, I believe, according to my understanding of the scripture, probably would be the things that are in the ocean. There are some things in the ocean, amen, that are older than things on earth. Why do you say that, preacher? Because there was a time in the days of Noah, amen, when God destroyed by the rain everything that lived on the earth. The only people were saved were the people that were on the ark. Amen. Noah and his sons and daughter-in-laws, his wife. Amen. And 2 of every kind of animal and 7 of birds and clean animals. And all of those were above on the ark. But everything else that lived and breathed oxygen that wasn't on the ark died. but the stuff that still was in the ocean. Are y'all praying with me? But can I tell you what's older than the stuff in the ocean? Amen. I know. Amen. You can't get. Amen. Older. The word of God. Well, how do you say it? Oh, in the beginning was the word. The word was God. And the word was. You can't get no older than the word. So what I want to tell somebody, if you want to be the bride of Christ, we got to stay in the word of God. That's good enough for me. That old time. Really. Now we do understand. Amen. We thank God. I told y'all about that broom, my grandmama's broom. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Old, just because it's old don't mean it's inferior. The truth of the matter is some stuff that's older is better. Amen. At least smarter. I wish I had a bit. But thanks be unto God. Not only do we need something old. But church, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we must also be prepared to accept some new things. Amen. Okay, all right. Y'all was all fired up when I said church needs some old. Go ahead, preacher. Yeah. But the church also needs something new.
Amen.
Amen. The church cannot survive without something new. Amen. And let me tell you where we go. You will not grow without new members. And you can't expect new members, amen, to just fall in line and fall in love with our old ways. Somebody say something new. Let me tell you, thank God he give us something new all the time. Hey, Jesus. Hey, but do me a favor, everybody inhale, exhale. That was new. Well, hold on, because I'm going to come back to that in a couple of, in a few more points. That was new breath. That was new. God gives us, and then we get, morning by morning, he gives us new mercies. Amen. God gave us a new chance. Amen. Anybody thank God he gave you a new beginning? God is a God of new things. And I praise God that he gave us a new chance. And he contends to give us things that we've never seen before. But I thank God that as we are the bride of Christ, we can't make it without something old. And we can't make it without something new. Well, this is going to really help me because it won't take long. Amen. We need something borrowed. And the reason it won't take long is because of everything we have. Is borrowed. Amen. Even the very bodies that we use. Just borrowed. Amen. The house we live in. I know you got the deed. And you can read your title clear. But can I tell you, as soon as you close your eyes, somebody else's name is going to go on that deal. Tell your neighbor, it's all borrowed. Amen. I asked you a minute ago to take a breath in. Inhale and then exhale. We just borrowed a little air. But can I tell you, everything that's borrowed, you got to return it. And I'm glad that Jesus specialized in returning borrowed stuff. I wish I had a witness here, y'all. That, yes, that Jesus Amen. Return that borrowed tomb. It belongs to Nicodemus. But the Lord said, I ain't gonna need it long. Amen. We need some old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. Well, I think I told y'all that I heard a little story. I hadn't experienced it, but they told me about it. They told me that before they had Clorox. You know, the bleach. Before, amen. Before they had all these products for whitening your clothes. Amen. They had a different kind of product. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Well, I want y'all to know, when we get to heaven, there's only one dress code for a bride. Are y'all going to pray with me? Every bride got to have a long white robe. That's the color of a true bride. That's the color a bride should wear. Okay, y'all gonna catch this on the way on, all the way back on the 605 or somewhere. Amen. It symbolizes purity. Amen. But we, amen, we ought to be prepared to have on our white robes. Amen. And I'm glad that God got a white robe for all his bride. I know my robe is gonna fit me well. Try it on. At the gates of hell.
All right.
But I thank God we need a white robe. Where can I tell you what can make my robe white? Well, I need to tell y'all, I haven't been perfect. I've got some spots on my garments. I wish I had a witness here, y'all. I got some things on my white robe that I wish I hadn't. Oh, y'all. But I'm here to tell you, I serve a God who can get the stains out. The stains out of my white robe. Wish I had a witness, y'all. Some stuff, y'all. I don't care what product you use, it just won't get the stains out. Wood light works for some stuff, but it won't work for everything. Tide gets the stains out. Even y'all, some things you can't even shout them out. I wish I had a witness, son. Sometimes we think we can shout our troubles away, but there's only wash my robe clean. It is the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Somebody say nothing. Around the time of the Lysol, they would wash on the washboard, and they would take the clothes off the washboard and dip them in some rinse water. But they had a product back then, and the product was called somebody said, what's that? Blue. And you would take them out with some blue. I don't know forward and put them in the blue wall. That the clothes came out white. Whiter than snow. So I'm trying to tell somebody, God's got some blue in me. And one of these old mornings, he's gonna wash us in his blue skies. The dead in Christ shall rise. And we're gonna be changed. Apostles, but I the church as your bride. I can hear Jesus saying, I already did. Give God a hand of praise. Thank you.